Welcome to the Real Estate Espresso Podcast, your morning shot of what's new in the world of real estate investing. I'm your host, Victor Monash. This is the weekend edition where we interview notable people from the world of real estate investing. Today is no exception. We have a great guest all the way from Nashville, Tennessee. Welcome to the show, Jeff Schechter.
Hello, Victor. Happy to be here.
Well, great to have you here again. Now, we've known each other a number of years and visited face-to-face and just really kept in touch over the years. And it's been a while since you were last on the show. You've been very busy, for sure. But for the folks who haven't met you, maybe give a little bit of your backstory and how you got to this point in your journey.
Okay, well, it's a long journey, so I'll try and talk fast. Started in the turnkey business in 2016 with a partner of mine, mostly just developing smaller, inexpensive single-family homes in the Indianapolis area. When COVID hit, it kind of turned the tap off and not too many investors buying stuff. And we needed to have more offerings, partially to survive, but partially to just recognize that we could do more. We knew more. And so since then, we've expanded into a few other markets. We recently bought a tax firm here in Nashville so that we can help investors with getting better tax breaks when they're buying real estate. We have a construction company and management company in Indianapolis as well. We've also contracted with a few other providers, so we're able to provide stuff in a lot of different markets. So it's not just turnkey. Sometimes it's properties that need work, and then we can help them get the work done. And then we also got involved in a syndication deal recently too, and raising capital for that too. So yeah, it's been busy. We're spreading our wings.
That's awesome. So a lot's changed since we've talked and you've been busy. How has it affected your strategy? What are you doing differently? I mean, there's a lot of concern, obviously, about what's happening in the marketplace, whether it's liquidity, whether it's higher interest rates, just an awful lot of concern. Has it forced you to pivot or just double down on what you're already doing?
Well, it's kind of both. I know that sounds weird, but living in Nashville, this has always been a very, very strong market the last 10 years, like too strong and really, really hard to find deals. And so when interest rates started creeping higher, we actually got excited about that because we started seeing some softening in some very, very hot markets. We also saw softening in markets that weren't so hot and things getting really soft. And so whereas we might see the cost of capital being higher, the cost of borrowing money, we're also able to find better deals on properties, and that tends to offset it. So it didn't necessarily slow down our purchasing. It just changed our really negotiating strategies as far as, you know, how we were picking up properties and the kinds of properties we were picking up. We used to be, like I said, more in just inexpensive little single family homes, but we've gotten into definitely sexier stuff and higher end stuff and things that would be like high end short term rentals, furnished, that sort of stuff, Airbnb kind of stuff. And there's no question that that's more volatile from a standpoint of performance. But we also bought or started our own property management company. So rather than farming that out to somebody else, we've been able to have some control in that aspect, and it's worked out pretty well. I mean, not to say we haven't screwed up and made some mistakes here and there, but overall, the mistakes have been minimal and haven't hurt us too badly. Regarding just the volatility of the banking industry itself, obviously, we're all freaking out a little bit over what happened with Silicon Valley Bank. And, you know, we're seeing some of that fear running through the streets right now. We're feeling it. It's not like we've got a crystal ball, and it's not like we've got a specific strategy. The only thing that we're doing is we're saying, okay, we don't want to be holding too much cash in a bank right now. So anytime that we sell something or we have some additional liquidity, we're immediately trying to turn that capital back into another property such that, you know, our positions are held more in what we affectionately call bricks and sticks than in cash, whether that's paper or digital cash, only because we're just not sure what's going to happen with holding cash. So we would rather just have something that we know will have lasting value.
Yeah. And that's always a difficult decision because you need liquidity for those unexpected situations that crop up. So you definitely need some liquidity. You don't want to be holding cash because that's a depreciating asset. So yep. You want something that's going to hedge against inflation, and inflation is here to stay, that's for sure. So it's finding that unique balance, or finding another proxy that can be easily made liquid. Maybe you have some other form of collateral that you can quickly turn into cash, whether it's actual physical gold bullion or physical something that can be quickly turned into cash.
Yeah, I've got, on a personal level, I have some precious metals and some crypto, which who knows what's going to happen with that. It's not a ton. But from a business standpoint, we're just so busy. The processes are all just like cash in, cash out, accounting. And it's like to add in the moving in and out of precious metals as another procedure, it's just not something that we've done. Now, I agree with you that probably increases our risk, but it's just not, I'm kind of at that point where I don't have the bandwidth for it. And maybe that's an ostrich-like response could come back to bite us. But, like I said, we're from a personal level, we've got our bets hedged. And from a professional level, we're just like, we don't keep a whole lot of cash on hand, and then we just buy more properties.
One of the things that certainly happened over the last year, the tremendous reduction in demand for properties, and that's simply driven by interest rates. The availability of financing is really what's fueled the demand over the last couple of years. And now that cost of financing has contracted the demand of late. But at the bottom end of the market, at the entry level, the demand is still strong as long as the numbers still work for the end buyer, for someone looking to rent. Affordability still rules the day. The market averages obscure what's happening in reality on the ground. You've been long in this space of focusing on affordable housing.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen that segment change at all in the last year? What have you noticed?
Not really. I mean, from a rental standpoint, the rentals are still strong. I don't think there was the same increase, at least in the markets that we're in. There wasn't the same increase in baseline rental prices as there were in the actual cost of the properties. So, we weren't getting really as good of price to rent ratios. However, rents did go up a little bit, but there's still a solidity there. I mean, as properties became more expensive because of cheap interest rates, that pushed some people out of the market and said, hey, all I can do is rent. Now you've got the flip-flop of that going like interest rates are too high, so I can't afford to buy a property. I've got to rent. So the rental market is still very, very strong. And, as long as we've got the basics down, I mean, do you have a good property? Is it something that's desirable in a decent neighborhood and priced right compared to the competitors? It's going to rent, and you're going to get your cash flow. We may not necessarily get the same cash flow that we were once enjoying a couple years ago, but this as well as anyone, Victor. I mean, it's a long game, right? And so even with all the volatility that's going on right now, I look at it as like, this too shall pass, and we will eventually see. I mean, look, we may be, who knows, it'll be interesting to come back and listen to this a year or two from now. We may be on a completely different monetary system. Who knows, right? But at the same time, people still need a place to live. And even if they're paying for it in drachmas or whatever, right, they're still going to need a place to live. So hang in there for the long term and ride it out.
That's one of the things that the financial crisis from 2008 definitely taught us. It taught us that if you can survive and you don't get upside down, time has a way of erasing all of those issues. Properties that we purchased in around that time frame, we really didn't experience any issues. We had strong appreciation over the long term, and they all turned out just fine. Even some of the financing terms that were really, we thought at the time, draconian, and we really held our nose signing those loan documents, in the end, wasn't really such a big deal.
Yeah, you bring up a good point. It's like time if I get overly philosophical just for a minute, you know, time has a way of healing a lot of things. And it's not just, you know, from an emotional standpoint, but also from a financial standpoint. You know, if you just hang in there, even like you said, with some crappy loans, it still all worked out. It may not have been, you know, the crown jewel of your portfolio, but it still worked out.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Jeff, if folks want to connect, if they want to learn more, what's the best way?
Just go to our website. Our main website is highreturnrealestate.com. And you can see the kinds of properties that we sell and what we're up to. And, you know, we've got a YouTube channel under the same name, and we've got a podcast under the same name. And so, yeah, we're staying busy.
I love it. Well, Jeff, great to catch up with you. And for the listeners at home, definitely connect with Jeff Schechter, also known as Shecky, at highreturnrealestate.com. That's the website. The link will be in the show notes. And in the meantime, have an awesome rest of your weekend. Go make some great things happen. And we'll talk to you again tomorrow.